Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bodybuilding Pro Series. I'm IFBB Pro Travalis Blunt, and joining me tonight is my co-host, Mr. Muscle Popper, John Hawley. How are you, sir?
Hey, Travalis, doing great. You're doing great, and you're getting closer and closer to the Europa. How are you doing?
That's it, inching ever closer. Ready to get on stage and kind of to get it over with and eat some regular people food and, you know, take a rest.
Get some,
the same thing.
Get some points. You got to get some points.
That's the idea. Looking for a top five finish. You know, go ahead and earn some points here at home. Last year's Europa, I looked absolutely awful. So I'm kind of on a redemption mission. So hope it all comes together.
Yeah, you'll do that. We saw you 2 weeks ago in Fort Lauderdale, and you won that Masters title, and you were in the first call-out, so...
Yeah, I placed seventh in the Open. Slowly but surely, I'm knocking on the door and slowly moving up. So, we'll see.
Yeah, you look good.
I really feel like I'll be a little little tighter, a little leaner, slightly better product.
You look good. You look like you were owning it. You were happy. You had that confident look about you, so... Did you use any of those Steve Misharbish tips that he was giving you in that video?
Absolutely. To me, he's one of the best posers in the world. To me, just when my body looks good, though, like I'm confident and I'm able to present it in just a much, much better fashion, go out there and just have some fun.
Yeah.
When I'm not confident in the product, then the posing is... I'm not naturally graceful anyway, so that is really the one thing that I need to improve if I really want to, start cracking that top five.
You take some dancing classes or something. What's up with you? A brother that's not graceful? Come on.
I know. Madrid says I move like a white boy. Could be said for our special guest this evening. She's also in prep for the Orlando Europa. Joining us is IFBB Pro Angel Star Saucier. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Javala?
I'm well. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Saucier, what
is So, how is the prep going?
You want to know the truth?
Absolutely.
Well, for starters, I earned my pro card in women's physique. I've been competing as a women's physique competitor and stepping down to figure. So this is my very first time ever as a pro wearing heels on stage and doing quarter turns. So that's for starters. And I wanted to come in. They wanted to get me just a little smaller if they could, and I've put on some size, not on purpose, so I'm bigger, my body's bigger, and the prep at first was not going well. I was doing more cardio than I've ever done, and I wasn't actually seeing anything happen. My weight wasn't moving, and I was panicking after about 3 or 4 weeks, and we discovered that I had some estrogen problems. My estrogen was a little high, so we kind of fixed that, and finally things are just rushing and moving quickly, but it's so close to the show.
Well,
so it's a little panic. Yeah, it's fast now, but it's kind of like, okay, where was that 3 weeks ago? So I'm not completely 100% like owning it yet, but if things keep going the way they've been the last 3 weeks, then I'll look the way I want day of show, and I'll be happy. But I really like to be ready at least 2 weeks out. But that's okay.
You still got time. Now, I'm super excited to see you come to the stage as a figure competitor. Here recently, we've seen, kind of the other transition, figure competitors, going up to physique.
Right.
Any thoughts about that?
Well, in my opinion, and, I, of course, talk with my coaches who are out of Venice Beach, Dave Kallick and Stan McCray. And watching the end of last year, a couple like the I did the Lou Ferrigno, and I played somewhere in the middle with my first show after 2 years of a bad illness, and I lost a bunch of weight and had to basically restart over. I was kind of smaller than most of the other girls. So looking at all the divisions, most of the girls in every category have substantial more size than they did 2-3 years ago. The figure girls are bigger than they were 2 years ago. The women's physique. We actually did a side-by-side. 1990 and 1991 women's bodybuilding top five Olympia, and we did top five. No, we did. My coach
was interesting.
And then the top five women's physique this year, we did a side-by-side. The women's physique last year were bigger than the female bodybuilders were in 1990.
Probably harder and more conditioned, and yeah.
Interesting fact, which is cool. I thought it was cool, but it's just interesting. But so we just decided, you know, now that I'm going to be 41 next month, and you know, do I really want to, you know, get bigger and do all this stuff at 41 and try to gain size, or do I want to kind of like maybe downsize just a tad and just come in tighter? And I started in figure, so naturally I just decided to come down a level and see what that looks like. The one thing I will say that I'm going to miss the most is the routines. I love choreography. I love the presentation part. I'm going to miss that, but I still do guest posing. I still choreograph other people, so it's okay.
Now, I know you like to lift heavy. Have you had to change how you train because you're
transitioning? Yes. The people where I live in Oregon, and it's, you know, it's not the most fit state in the United States.
It's funny you say that, but I hear that the shows out west, and especially like Oregon, Washington, they tend to be, you know, very competitive.
They are very competitive.
Perhaps you maybe wouldn't think that.
The people that are in it, the people who are in the sport, I mean, we are one of the most competitive, the Northwest region is one of the most competitive regions, and we produce a lot of pros, a lot of top athletes, but as a whole, as a collective, Oregon has one of the highest obesity rates. So that's an interesting thing, right? So, but that's the truth. So you go in, like, I don't live in a major city. I mean, I do live in the capital, but it's not big. It's not Portland. It's not Eugene, it's Salem. So where I live here, I'm the only pro. I'm the only active pro here. So everyone looks at me like, oh gosh, there's Angel Star. Like, I don't feel that special. But, you know, I get a lot of stares and whispers and looks, and, you know, it's cool, but yeah, so where I live, people used to be like, oh my gosh, you lift like a guy. Oh my gosh, you're crazy. And, you know, I would squat 300 and superset that with 350 pound deadlifts every week. Like, that was just the way I trained. It was a little crazy. And now that I'm older, a little bit older, and my joints are mad at me for that kind of behavior, it's kind of a good thing, you know, for me to transition into a different style of lifting. And I'm kind of liking the way it's shaping me, to be honest with you. So I'm cool with it.
To be honest with you, I kind of like the way it's shaping you also.
That
being said, really, I'm as much as I'm a competitor, I swear, I'm a fan also. You've been at this for some time, yes? Coming at almost 20 years? Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever competed in
bikini?
Yes, I did.
Were you ever in bikini? Okay.
I did every division. So I started in, I think, 2000 or 2001, right around there when figure was brand new. It was like, I think, the first year figure ever was a thing. And nobody even really knew what it was going to be, really, honestly. They were still molding it. And we wore the velour one pieces, you know, the oh-so-sexy, like, crushed velvet, where you had, like, five color choices. And they were, like, bedazzled with, like,
I love how you describe.
Oh, yeah. I love
James Bedford.
Well, I used to make suits for about 13 years, so, I mean, it did, I loved that part of it. So, anyway, but I did the first figure ever in Oregon, and 20 years ago to this date, I believe, in May, it'll be 20 years, and I did okay. I think it was five competitors, I think it was 23rd or something like that. I didn't even know what I was doing, had no idea what these poses were. I'd seen one bodybuilding show, and there was no figure, so they just threw me up there, and I was like, okay, I think I know what we're doing, and it was a mess, but it was fun. It was a learning experience, but it launched what I'm doing now, so it was my beginning. And I did that for a few years. And then I took about 7 years off, went through a divorce, was a single mom of three elementary kids. And my focus had to be other places. I actually downsized quite a bit. My body did a lot of mainstream modeling. I actually did like runway, high fashion.
Now, were you training people then also or no?
Once in a while, like I was personal training, I was modeling personal training, but I wasn't treating competitors a lot. A few of them, I taught posing classes because that's kind of my niche. Stage presence is my thing, and so I had big classes I would teach every weekend, and I was quite successful. And back then, there wasn't a lot of options in my area for posing, and so I did that. I did modeling, and I did train some, and I took about 7 years off. And then I really decided I did not like the modeling look that they wanted me. I had no ass. Like, I was little. I was probably 110 pounds. And I was wearing my daughter's clothes. And she was, like, in fifth grade. I was like, no, thank you. I want to get back to the fitness thing. It was not my cup of tea. So I started back in bikini. And I did okay. And I think I was placed in top five, but within a year, I started getting too big already. I started training consistently, and then I went did figure and bikini the same year, and then they were like, you're too big, and so I just did figure, and I was winning that. They're like, well, now you have to do women's physique, and that was brand new. I didn't even know what it was. So then I tried it. I won the Emerald Cup, my very first ever show for women's physique in 2014.
You actually wound up earning your pro card in women's physique, yeah?
The same year. So within 6 months, I think, of my first show, I was like, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. I went to North Americans and then came back a pro. So then I did my first pro debut the next year and placed top five at the Phoenix Europa.
Okay. Now, a little earlier, you mentioned that you had some health concerns that made you kind of step away.
Right. So after my pro debut, at the time I was working with Brandon Ray, out of also Venice Beach. He and I were so elated with my top five placings, but we noticed I was, in fact, the smallest girl on stage. My conditioning was crazy. My stage presence was out of this world, but I was little.
If I may, how tall are you?
Five and a half. Well, I'm technically supposed to be 5'7" arm span, but I'm officially
5'5".
I'm supposed to be. I'm arm span. I used to be, but my spine has compressed from squatting so heavy, so I measure at 5'5", but I am supposed to be 5'7". So I appear tall to people because of the length of my limbs. So it's a little confusing. I measure 5'5", but I'm supposed to be 5'7", so I look long.
And I know that this will be your first, or I guess your figure debut, but typically right. When we've seen in the past, roughly what weight would you say that you would, you know, we would see you on stage?
Well, this is an interesting question because I'm kind of spreading over this. I haven't, the last several years, it's like, you gotta get bigger, I want the scale to go up, Now, if I go, it's gotta go down. So, right now I'm sitting about 149, which is heavier than I was supposed to be, much heavier than they wanted me to be, but my coaches are ecstatic.
But weight doesn't matter. What does it look like?
It doesn't. They want me to be 138 on stage, but they still say that's very doable. Because I do hold a lot of water, so... they want me at 138 on stage, so if I'm going to hit that, that's up to the Lord.
But you're plugging away. But you were telling us of your health scare.
Yeah, we decided after that, I really needed to grow. It's been the whole off season just lifting heavy, eating, you know, what I was supposed to eat, and I was doing quite well. My body was changing dramatically. I was much, much bigger. My shape was just phenomenal, and I started preparing for the Tampa Pro, I believe it was.
Tampa Pro.
And
okay.
Yeah, I was about 5 weeks out, and I felt so confident. I was just ecstatic. I'm like, I'm about to win this show. Like, I was so happy. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling weird. I started, like, feeling faint, like, almost like my blood sugar was low, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I was still eating quite a bit. My metabolism was really efficient. Anyway, so I fainted, and I was not really sure what it was. I had some sugar, whatever, and anyway, so the next week, I weighed, and I had dropped 6 pounds in about 4 to 5 days, and I was still feeling really tired and weird, and I called my coach, and he's like, well, you know, sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes it's slow to flush out, whatever. The next week, and at that point, I was 4 to 5 weeks out, and I was in my kitchen, and I fainted, and I hit my head. This was the first thing in the morning after I had eaten, so it made no sense. Anyway, come to find out, I had dropped another 6 to 7 pounds within a few more days.
So you're down like 12 or 13 pounds total now.
Yeah, overall, I ended up losing about 27 pounds within 2.5, 3 weeks. So what happened was my thyroid went way overactive. Just all of a sudden, it just decided to go crazy. But I went to the emergency room, and I had told them that I was on T3, anyways, because I thought it might be that, but anyway, so I told that to the nurse, but anyway, things got lost in translation. Took a heart test, they took all these blood tests, whatever. They came back and told me that I had a heart condition and that I probably wasn't going to compete again and I needed to see a heart specialist the next week. And they sent me home, said, you need to just get off the diet, you need to start feeding yourself, more calories, no exercise. Until you're cleared to do so. I was at the point where I couldn't walk up my stairs in my house to go to my bed. I would just, halfway up, I would sit. I would just start sweating profusely. It was crazy. So I was sleeping downstairs. It was just crazy. Then they called me 3 or 4 days later and said they had made a mistake, that it was not a heart condition, but the test for my thyroid had come back and it was overactive. And
okay.
I was like, well, that would make sense.
At least
sense
now we got a diagnosis.
Right. And so I was finally at that day started coming to terms with, okay, I have a heart condition. This is going to change everything. I got to figure out what direction I'm going to go in. And then I get the call. So, you know, I am a spiritual person, so I prayed a lot about it, you know. I was a little confused, as I'm sure a lot of us would be in that situation. Then I get a phone call. So I was like, okay, well, I guess the Lord told me this is not done for me.
Right.
So, but
no, and I would imagine it probably kind of helped you, like, rededicate and, like, you know, have it, you know, kind of taken away from you, even so briefly.
After a while,
you know, oh, okay.
Not right away. It took me a while because I went through a little depression because I at that point I was so thin, I almost didn't even look like I could do bikini.
Didn't look like yourself. Mm-hmm.
It literally went from looking like a pro athlete to just somebody didn't even work out. It was absolutely crazy. And to see yourself transform so quickly like that and then to not feel well, I was not able to go to the gym for at least a month, maybe 2 months. I don't even remember. It was a while. And I was still continuing to lose weight, even though I took the T3 out. So it took a few weeks for that to kind of slow down, and I was eating a lot. Just to try to prevent from losing weight. So it was kind of crazy. And then, you know, I did. I went through a depression. Like, you know, I basically felt like I had to start from square one and kind of reprioritizing things. And to be quite honest, you know, I feel like the Lord definitely has plans for all these things that he does, because at that moment, like, taking a step out of basically being obsessed with gym and competing and this and that, I saw a lot of things.
Take a step back.
Right, because I was missing a lot of things that were going on around me.
Right.
And I didn't realize it.
No, if you're going to do this thing and be, you know, any good at it, it's all consuming. So I get that.
Yeah, you have to be obsessed. You have to do well. If you're not obsessed, you're not going to make it. But I ended up focusing on some other things that were kind of cool in my life, kind of private stuff that I don't necessarily want to talk about, but private stuff that, you know, had a little, you know, kind of step grandbaby for about a year, that, you know, I focused on family and kind of rebuilding and things like that. It was kind of a cool transitional year. Those 2 years that I stepped away was actually very very much needed, and kind of got me to rededicate, regroup, and kind of fall in love with the gym and the thing, the competing thing again. So it was good. It was a good thing.
That matters. All refreshed and rejuvenated. Now, we've heard you mention the team a couple of times. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? What's the name of the team?
Right. So I have a team called Team Alpha Star. And it's local here in the Northwest as far as the coaches that we have right now. It's really been up and going for about a year. And I have three coaches under me. I have a men's physique. He's basically like the captain. All of us train every division. So it's not like he only trains the men and we train the women. It's not like that. But he's kind of like our captain for the men's physique. So he's a national... He's a national level men's physique, and we have Dakota, who is a former bodybuilder. She's older. She doesn't compete now, but she's called our bikini master. She has produced a lot of pro bikini girls national level. So she's great at the bikini girls, and we kind of let her do the most of the bikini girls. And then there's me. I do pretty much every division. More men actually hire me than women. So I have more bodybuilders and men's physique than anything, and classic physique. And then we have Dustin Byers, who is in Washington. He is he's a national level bodybuilder, and he is our bodybuilding captain. We have posing classes every Saturday in Portland and every Sunday in Salem, where I live. And then we also train people all over the U.S. as far as online coaching.
And can I have you give the website? Or I guess, is there a website?
Yes. There is a website right now. We took it down to make some changes, but it's linked on my website, and it'll be back up next week, I believe. But my website is www.angelstarprofitness.com, and there will be a link on there to that team, but then the team page will also be up and running next week.
And you are currently taking clients?
Yes, I am. I am. We're all taking clients. So especially online, now one-on-ones I'm kind of full, but online coaching I'm almost always taking clients.
And while we're talking about it, could you also give your social media pages also?
Yep. So I have two Facebook pages. One is my fan page, and that's Angel Star IFBB Pro. And then my other Facebook is just Angel Star Associer. My Instagram is at @angelstar_IFBB Pro. My team page is Team Alpha Star. My Facebook for team is Team Alpha Star. I have a Twitter, but it's AngelstarIFBB Pro. Everything is pretty much AngelstarIFBB Pro.
And kind of cool, Angel Star is your given name, yes?
It is. My mom did that for us. My mom was just had a good time during the pregnancy. I don't know. But, yeah, a lot of people ask me, that's your stage name? Or, No. That's on my birth certificate. That's real. That's a real name. Yeah, I was gifted. And now, that I'm older, when I was young, I was embarrassed. I wouldn't let anybody know because, when you're young, everybody wants to make fun of you for something, and I wasn't about to tell anybody about that. And then as I got older, somebody had found out, I think it was high school, somebody found out my middle name was Star, and it kind of became a thing. They just started calling me Angel Star. As a joke at first, but then it just caught on, and so everybody thought my last name was Star. And then, so now it's just Angel Star.
Just kind of embraced it.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool. It's pretty fitting. Of my personality, though.
No, it absolutely worked. Mom knew what she was doing.
I think Mom knew. I think she knew I was about to be a little star.
Yeah.
This is when I was little, you couldn't tell me nothing. You could not. I knew when I grew up. I told everybody. Well, what are you going to be when you grow? I'm going to be a princess. Okay.
It's very princess. Much that same way. It's very much that same way.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I know that there's a backstory. Can you briefly tell us how did you get involved in bodybuilding in the first place?
There is a backstory. I'll make it brief. It's a very long story. But basically...
No, but it's super interesting, though.
It is very very interesting and is also part of what I do, so I'll touch on it. So next month on the 19th will be exactly 20 years, and I'll be guest posing at the same show, my very first ever show. 20 years to the day I sat in the audience of the show that I'll be guest posing at next month.
Literally coming full circle.
20 years, yeah. I'm sitting in the audience of my first bodybuilding show. Of course, growing up, you know, bodybuilding was disgusting. Everybody was like, oh, gross, you know. So I had no idea about this world. And I'm about to give birth to my first child. I was almost 21. I was tuxedo mixed, so I couldn't even wear shoes. And I was retaining so much water, so it was just a disaster. But I'm sitting there in the audience and watched my first ever bodybuilding show put on by Ron and Susan Smith. And my ex-brother-in-law was a teen bodybuilder. He was maybe 18 or 19. And I was absolutely mesmerized by these. And back then, there was no figure when I first watched it. There was no figure bikini, none of that.
It was
either you're a bodybuilder or you're a fitness girl. And the fitness girls and half of them really had no business up there doing a routine because they had no rhythm. But they wanted to be involved and they weren't a bodybuilder. So it was interesting. Like, you saw all different talents. But I was so mesmerized. I just thought, you know what? These women are amazing. You know, they're up there doing this and they're fit and they look so happy and they love life. And up until about that time, from the age of 10, I suffered from anorexia where I started about the age of 10, and nobody really knew what was wrong with me as far as my family and stuff, because I hid it very well until I was 15, and my mom found me passed out in the foot when I was getting in the shower. I was in the bathroom, and apparently the water had been running for an hour, and she came in, and I was unconscious on the floor with no clothes on. So the first time she'd ever seen me, you know, like, my body, wow. I kept it covered. And wow. I was 15, and I might have been about 85 pounds, maybe. And I was a sophomore, junior. Yeah, I was very ill. And, so obviously we went to the hospital and woke up in the hospital, and there began the journey of trying to recover from anorexia, which, you know, they told my parents, well, she's going to die if she doesn't get help. So that was 15, I think it was, and I kind of struggled with that. I had therapy, you know, from the age of 15 to about 17, 18, all kinds of health repercussions, surgeries, a lot of things that were direct results from starving my body. And then as I grew older, I tried to control it on my own. It was always a struggle, back and forth with it, but it wasn't full-blown, like, 80 pounds. And then I met my then-husband at 18 or 19, got married early and young, and still struggled a little bit, and then got pregnant. And that was the time I saw my show, and then right after the show, I gave birth to her, and I didn't know it was a girl. I thought it was a boy, but we didn't know the sex, and it was born, and I was like, this is a girl, like, I have to set an example for this baby girl, and I can't let her see me struggle with eating and body issues. I want to be the best role model for her that I can be. And so at that point, I was like, this is it. It started my journey, and that was it. Started reading about nutrition. The minute she was, I think it was 6 weeks old, she could go into a daycare at the gym. I went to my first ever gym. I had no clue what I was doing. I watched other people, I asked questions. Back then, the internet wasn't a real thing. Like, nobody really used it unless you were, like, a teacher or, you know. So, like, not a lot of information. I read what I could. And, of course, I lived in this little farming community called Lebanon, and it was, like, one gym there and not a lot of fitness people at all. So it wasn't the best environment. So, yeah, it was interesting. It was But I didn't care. I was like, I still just...
Well, yeah, because you didn't even know. Like, you're on this journey, and you're super excited.
No, and it was so funny because I remember back then, like, when I started getting into it, and after I saw that show, I learned about this magazine called The Oxygen. And nobody in my town got that magazine. It was like, I was the only one that purchased it in the town every month. So it was, like, always just me getting that. And so I would look, and I would look at all of the... you know, competitors in there, and I was just like, these women are so phenomenal, they're so beautiful, I want to look like that someday. But never in a million years did I think at that time that I should.
Right, that you would.
That I would be at that level.
Yeah, earn a pro card or.
Or surpass some of those girls, because at this point, we look different than they did back then, you know, 1997, 1999, you know, or 2000, 2001. It's just a totally different look. And yeah, it was crazy. So I remember looking at that thinking, wow, is that real? Can people really look like that? You know, and here I am. So pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
But it was a long journey just to repair my body and work on the metabolic damage. And that took several years to level my body out, just to be able to really put on muscle, you know, and really start seeing a difference in the body fat levels. So it was
it's even more impressive, because before I began bodybuilding, I didn't have a relationship with food, and now I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you to come from that place and to be able to manage it and, you know, remain healthy and, you know, eat the food and diet and, you know, discipline yourself, like, you know, kudos to you. That's all. That's, you know.
Thank you. Well, really, I think, you know, this is probably what keeps my mind off of that. Like, ever since I started having a routine with food back then, I've never, not one time, gone back to those old thinking patterns, and it's crazy. It just like all disappeared. It completely dissipated. That was the magic key, I guess.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Looking to lose weight, gain muscle, lean out, bulk up? Well, I do it all. Personalized service, detailed workouts, and most of all, results. So, you have an upcoming wedding, cruise, class reunion, or just adopting a healthier lifestyle, hit me up. I'm at Travalis@gmail. Or on social media, Instagram, IFBB Pro, Travalis Blunt, or Travalis Blunt on Facebook. Hop in my DM or message me.
When I'm not on stage competing against the very best bodies in the world, I also have a 9-to-5 job, and staying on meal plan can be a challenge. I turn to Pro Prep Meal Plan. Whether you're looking to lean out and lose weight, build muscle and bulk, or simply maintain a healthy lifestyle, Pro Prep Meal Plan is the answer. Servicing Alabama and bordering states. Look for them on Facebook and IG. Pro Prep Meal Plan.
And back to the show.
How long has this prep been?
This prep, 10 weeks.
And is that typical for you?
It always depends. Like, if I'm going to be completely honest, like when I got my pro card and the Europa where I got top 5 and I didn't really do cardio, my body was so efficient. I had, you know, and the way I used to lift was so crazy that, like, it was very intense. And I really didn't have to do a lot of cardio. I was still always eating a lot of carbs. And when I wanted to dial in right before the show, I would do like the last few weeks, maybe, you know, 5 days a week at 20 minutes of cardio steady stage.
Wow.
And I would come in shredded. But that was in the past. Cool.
The body changes.
My body has changed, so I learned that I cannot do that anymore. That is a no-go for me. And I don't know
so
if that
has that kind of leads me, right. Well, the next question, I guess, what is your cardio at like now?
I'm doing more cardio than I've ever done in my life right now for prep. Since back in the day, like in 2001 or 2, back then, everybody did 2 hours of cardio and no carbs. Everybody did that. So back then it was different, but since I've learned the right way, this is the most I've done. I'm doing about 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes at night, which doesn't seem like a lot to most people, but when you're used to only doing 20 minutes for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, 5 days a week and come shredded, this is by crazy, you know, and my carbs are cut significantly. I'll do like 3 or 4 depletion days with no carbs, no fats, and then I'll have a reload day. It's quite different than anything I've done, but it's because my body wasn't responding for several weeks.
Is it
kind of playing catch up?
Are we talking steady state cardio? Are we talking state cardio?
Well, I'm doing both. I'm doing both.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And where are your carbs at?
I ain't saying. That's my coach's.
Oh, okay.
about what we're doing. We don't talk about that.
Well, pardon me.
But like I said, just a couple weeks ago, I was doing depletion with no carbs for 4 days and then reloading. So that was just up until a couple of weeks ago, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, well, just so you know, I haven't had carbs in like 8 days.
It's crazy. Like, I used to eat I used to eat 200 to 300 carbs a day and 300 grams of protein daily. Like, it was absolutely crazy. I responded well back then. I didn't respond well to fat, so I wouldn't have fat, but I would have 200 to 300 grams of carbs and still lose weight. It was crazy.
Yeah, I've had to come to understand that I like carbs, but carbs don't like me.
Yeah, well,
the faster they are, the worse.
Yeah, I hear you. So back in the day, I really had it easy. But if I'm going to be completely honest, I think this is really good for me. This is really good for me to have to do this because it put me back into a place where I can relate to my clients because most of my clients have to do this. Most other competitors have to do this. And when I was just getting away without really, not that I wasn't working because my lifting was intense, but this makes me really have to work for it, not rely on my genetics or my fast metabolism, which was easy. So this is a good thing for me. It really is.
Yeah. You're one of those people that we hear about. You out-gene people.
How do you mean?
Well, you rely, like you said, you rely on the genes. You know, maybe the diet could be a little cleaner. Yeah, I could walk a little bit more cardio, but you know what? My body's going to do its thing, and I'll be ready.
Yeah, because I wasn't that big, so a lot of times if I did more, I would end up looking pretty stringy, and so I would try to avoid that. Most of the reason why I didn't indulge in a lot of cardio, and it seemed to work for me at least the last couple of years when I got my pro card and. Stuff like that. So, but now I'm working. But yeah, my genes, I've relied on that a lot. It's just because it worked, And it's not working now. I'm old.
No, you're experienced. Have you been following the figure division? Are there any girls that, you're kind of.
No. One thing I stopped doing, even before I turned pro, is probably 2014. I stopped looking at the quote unquote the competition. I did for the first time. I mean, when I was doing women's physique, I didn't look at women's physique people either. I just didn't look. I didn't matter what they look like. What mattered is what am I doing with what I have. And so I don't like comparing myself to other people. I'll look at the top five at the Arnold. I'll look at the top five at Olympia to see what are they looking for. That's it. Other than that, I'm not looking. Now, going down the figure, I did look. And I don't look at individual girls. I'm looking at the top five, and I'm looking at shape. What do they look like? How conditioned are they? Things like that. And the top five at the Arnold and the top five at Olympia, I mean, man, these women have the teeniest, tiniest waist. I'm not blessed with the teeniest, tiniest waist anymore. So we'll see how small I can get it. But I'm a big fan of all the top five girls. To be honest with you, they're all marvelous, amazing, beautiful, symmetrical, still extremely feminine. I mean, they're the whole package. I mean, who wouldn't want to look like one of them?
Yeah, it's a good time in figure. There's lots of talent in that division.
It's hard. It's hard.
John, did you want to jump in? I know that we were talking to, Krista Dunn, and she made the transition from figure to physique.
Well, I just think it's interesting with Angel, particularly being that she's done three divisions, actually, doing... Uh-huh. That's really unique to be able to bounce around. But I guess that, again, is the genetics and having a high metabolic rate. But all of those things being able to coincide and mix it up. You mentioned, Angel, about really loving the performance aspect. What did you think of Bikini when you were doing it? Same thing.
Oh, I loved it. I will tell you, nobody out bikinied me on stage. When I walked, eyes were on me. And I heard this across the board from all the judges. I mean, I am a performer. I get on the stage, and it's like, okay, it's time to perform. So as far as stage presence and movement and all of that stuff, I nailed it. Once my legs started kind of getting too big, and my shoulders and my back was really wide, and it just kind of, it was a little distracting for the look. But as far as the performance, oh, honey, no, nobody's going to touch me. No, I mean, there was a lot of talent, but I was very, very much a fan of that bikini thing, yeah.
What do you tell your clients when they're asking you questions about maybe which division they should do, or if they're asking you about, or they say they want to do a division that maybe you think their physique isn't quite a match for?
Well, I show them pictures of the national level, local national level, and I put it next to their photo, and I explain why I think they would be a better fit in X, Y, and Z. And to be honest with you, sometimes you have a woman that comes to you and she is not big enough to do figure. She's built like a bikini girl, but she has no feminine qualities. I mean, she can't walk in heels, and it's like she's just a more tomboy.
What do you do in a case like that?
Well, I will tell you, I am a miracle worker. I will tell you that I have had a couple of clients that I have spent months and just walking in heels, okay? And we sold it. It's not typical, and most of the time I say, you know what? This is not your personality. You will not sell it. You won't. So you're going to have to grow and wait, or you aren't going to do bikini. More times than not, it's not going to work for that person. If they are not feeling themselves, they're not going to perform well. If they don't feel it, they don't like the heels, they don't feel playful on stage, well, how are you going to sell that to the judges? You're not.
Right. The most confident person in the room influences everyone else. And, you know, if you're not, it's readily available.
Yeah, exactly. So my advice most of the time is you need to wait and grow into the next category.
Do you run into girls that say, well, I want to wear heels, but, or I don't want to be barefooted, but yet their physique is really more oriented to women's physique, something of that nature?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I've had some really, really muscular, thick women talk about, I want to do figure. I'm like, where? Like, have you seen the division? Because you're not a fit for that. And you're probably not going to lose enough muscle to make that happen. So, yeah, I mean, I have. And I can give them my expert opinion, and I can show the evidence as to why I came to that conclusion. And ultimately, it's up to the client, right? They're going to pay me. Sometimes I say, you know what, I don't think I'm the coach for you, because I just, when I'm busy, so it's like I would rather put clients on stage.
I may ask,
that are too.
How often does that happen, that you have to say, well, you know what, maybe this isn't 100% fit. Maybe I'm not the coach for you.
All the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot of women have an idea of what they want. Well, women especially, right? We're all like, we all want what we can't have, right? And so some women are totally loving their own vibe, and they're very confident in themselves. And, you know, like me, if they said, hey, you need to go back to bikini, I'd be like, okay, shit, I'm ready. I don't care. I love who I am, and I know I can sell whatever I do. Some women are not. They cannot. They cannot do it. So it happens often, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me, because there's always it's a revolving door. Coaching is a revolving door. One person exits, the next person walks in, right? It doesn't bother me. I would rather them go to a coach that will work with their wants and needs and be happy than have a headache, right?
Right. Absolutely.
What is the value of competing? We hear a lot of trainers that are largely training non-competitive clients versus competitors. Is your mix that way? And then what do you tell people that the value of competing would be if they're considering it?
if they're considering it, well, and I think everybody has a personal why. And I can't dictate if their why is a good why. For me, it saved my life from anorexia. It taught me how to structure eating, and it gave me guidance. So that was my why. But, you know, the value for me is it teaches you discipline. It teaches you structure, hard work, being completely dedicated to something, and it changes your life. And it changes, usually if they have a family, it'll change your entire family's life, because once you start eating X, Y, and Z, it rubs off on the people around you. It makes you a stronger woman. If you're a female, if you're a female, it makes you much stronger, because we kind of run into some things that males don't typically run into. Women will be at the office, and there might be three or four overweight women in the office that are always going to lunch and happy hour together. Let's go for margaritas after work. And then you've got this girl who's, you know, trying to get fit, has goals, and she's got her Tupperware. Those women, a lot of times, will hate on her. They'll say, oh, you here you are eating your Tupperware food again, or, oh, don't you want to have a little fun? And, girl, I wouldn't do that. Man, I like my margaritas. You know what I mean? So we deal with a lot of, I call hate from women who will say negative things and make you feel like you're doing something wrong for dedicating your life and dedicating your priorities differently than theirs. So we have to say, you know what? I'm happy with what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So it teaches you to be a stronger person in general and just be more confident in what you're doing. Some women have a very difficult time with it, and it's one of the very first things that I tell women when they sit down in my office, when they want to compete for the first time. I ask them, A, are you in a relationship? B, is that person very supportive of what you're doing? Because 95% of the time, if that person
is not going to work, you all are
not going to stay together and cause them divorces, because that person thinks you're going to the gym to get hot and leave them. it's a whole lifestyle change. So that's number one. Number two is, I'm just going to tell you right now that your family, your neighbors, people at work, they're going to start talking negatively to you about progressing in this, because it's something that they won't attain and they're jealous. As long as you know what it is, you're cool. So I think it teaches you a lot. There's a lot of benefit and a lot of value.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. So it's not about a trophy per se, but personal enrichment.
No.
Personal enrichment.
I don't think anybody goes and pays all of this money and dedicates day in to day out to go. They can go to a trophy shop and put their own name on something. Like, it's not about the trophy. The reward is much bigger than a placing. It's a follow through. It's a dedication. It's knowing that you've done work that 99% of American people cannot do, will not do. It teaches you discipline and just self-confidence and awareness. I think it's honestly one of the best experiences that somebody could go through.
Empowering.
Even if you never want to do it again, even if you do it one time.
No, that's what I say. Yeah, pick a show and you diet down, and either you're going to love it and decide, you know, this is for me, or you know what, I've had my fill, but at least you have the experience. I'm wholeheartedly with you in that respect, for sure.
Absolutely. It's life-changing. Because what happens is it's a trickle effect, because you think, oh my gosh, I never thought that I could say that I could do this. And if I can do this, well, then I can do this. And if I can do this,
what does that mean?
Right, it's a trickle effect. It's like one of the hardest things a person can do, honestly. And because in America, I mean, let's be honest, like everything is celebrated through food, every holiday, every birthday. Everything we do is food and alcohol. Right.
Even just outings is about, you know, going and getting food.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're that one person that says, you know what, no guys, I'm gonna come, but I'm gonna bring my own food. Okay.
What?
For 12 weeks you do that, right? 12 weeks.
At least, yeah.
Stay strong. Yeah, right. So I'm just saying, I'm average. It's crazy, but it's empowering. It feels good, it's hard, but to know that you did it. You got through it and you got up there. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
If possible, I'm even more excited to see you here in a couple of days.
Oh yeah, Wednesday. I'll be there Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay.
Yep.
Are there any shout-outs? That's right. And she's celebrating, yes?
She's celebrating. So I have three kids. My oldest is 20. Now the one that's coming with me, she is just turned 18 last week. So we're celebrating her 18th birthday, her graduation, and her acceptance into Portland State University with a full-ride scholarship. And we have a lot to celebrate, and so we're going a little early. I'm going to let her have fun in the sun, experience some things. And she really is, if I'm going to be really honest, she's like my little right-hand lady because she's my stylist. She has styled all of my latest photo shoots. She's actually going to school to do fashion is what she wants to do, is fashion design eventually. But so she styled all of my photo shoots. Like I have a photo shoot Saturday. She completely styled the whole thing. She's in charge of hair, makeup, all the looks. She's definitely an asset to me. And she's actually started picking up the suits that I used to do. So now she's actually designing some of the suits. So it's kind of cool. Yeah,
bringing back the line.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the apple doesn't fall far. I'm sure that, yeah, no, this happened by coincidence.
Well, thank you. But I appreciate it.
Are there any shout-outs you want to give? Anybody you want to mention?
I definitely want to mention coaches on my team, Dakota. I know I already mentioned them, but Dakota, Dustin. Hello? I just said it
a
while ago.
Yeah, no.
Because I have a little
time. No, I'm listening intently.
Okay.
No, no one else?
My team. Yeah, there's a few. I was wanting to shout out to them for doing such an awesome job and making my job not really seem like work. To Ron and Susan Smith, who are responsible for putting on the first bodybuilding show that I ever went to that basically completely changed my life, who are also allowing me to guest post next month, which I will note will be the absolute best performance I've ever put on. So I'm very excited. Just shout out to my kids for just being honestly my biggest supporters and honestly my inspiration. But and my coaches, you know, for helping me be the best me, package wise, body wise. They're pretty awesome. And Travalis for having me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No. Trust me. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Like I said, I'm if possible, I'm even more excited to see you here on Wednesday.
Thank you,
Mr. Hawley. Anything?
No, it's great interview. Enjoyed getting to hear Angel's perspective and history, and look forward to seeing how that physique turns out in figure at the Europa.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And again,
we wish you well.
The contact information one more time. Can you run through that again?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, so let's see. Facebook is Angel Star Associate, SAUCIER. My fan page is Angel Star IFBB Pro. My Instagram is Angel Star IFBB Pro. My team page, if you're interested in coaching or posing classes, is Team Alpha Star. Facebook for that is Team Alpha Star. My Twitter is at AngelStarIFBBPro.
For the best look on stage and most convenient, hassle-free service for your bodybuilding fitness event spray tan, look no farther than Hotspot Competition Tanning. Elisa and her crew have perfected their service at contests throughout Florida and beyond with the recognition and support of the majority of athletes and event promoters. Visit hotspotcompetitiontanning.com to schedule your competition airbrush spray tanning and competition makeup and hair appointments.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really been focusing on and trying to bring up this season is my middle back, my rhomboids. Shout out to Dr. Green over at Performance Driven Chiropractic here in Orlando, Florida. If you're in need of any work, guys, go ahead and pop in. Tell them that Travalis Blunt sent you. They are literally chiropractic savants. You just simply have to describe the problem. You know, they kind of get to touch it and feeling around and instantly find it and diagnose it and get you on the right track. And they've made me better in a matter of weeks, so I'm sure they can help you also. But I need it for my rhomboids to pop, and, you know, they've been working with the scraping and some cupping and all of these different procedures to really, you know, help me to be the best that I can be. So, yeah, if you're ever in need of any work, go and holler at Dr. Green over at Performance Driven.